Blog Talk Radio.
Another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.
Lined up for you.
get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lilisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today. How is everybody doing this morning? Well, I hope you are doing well. It is another wonderful, great, and awesome day. Here, if you're on the East Coast of New Jersey, then what that means is that your day is rainy. If you're on the East Coast and you're over here in the New Jersey area, that means you are having a rainy day. And we thank God for the rain because it is washing away many, many things. And not just germs that are in the air, not just clearing away some of the pollen. We have had individuals over in this territory who have had their sinuses just running rampant, running wild, and raging on them. So we thank God for the rain because it comes and it sort of helps to assist individuals with that problem because of all the pollen in the air. But depending on where you're at, the sun could be shining very brightly. You know, I learned a long time ago that the sun is always shining. It may not be shining in your neck of the woods, but it is shining somewhere. And when we think about that, the implications of that, of understanding that the sun is always shining, what that means for you and me is that anytime we're feeling blue, you know, sometimes you just feel blasé. You know, we used to say that back in the day. Boy, I haven't heard that word in a long time. You know, how you feeling? Blasé. You know, it just meant I'm feeling kind of mediocre. Just feeling kind of middle of the road. Not feeling up to par, you know. Not feeling up to speed, so to speak. In other words, you're not feeling on top of your game. You're not feeling at your best. You're just kind of feeling blah, blasé. Well, it's nothing like a little sunshine to brighten your day. You ever been inside a building? That's why researchers say that, you know, you shouldn't be in a building without any windows. People who tend to be in a building without any windows tend to suffer more from depression. And so in places where you're in an office building all day long with absolutely no windows, don't be surprised if over time you begin to feel depressed, down, blasé, just, you know, kind of lackadaisical about your personality, your attitude. It could have something to do with the fact that you're not getting natural sunlight. And so what they advise those individuals to do is to go outside, even just the sunlight. Go outside every so many minutes, do like an interval, maybe every 20 minutes or so, you'll go stand outside. And that's what we're saying. Even though it may be raining and cloudy in your area right now, just to think, you know, the mind is so powerful, so powerful. How powerful is our mind? You know, we don't even use a quarter of a nanogram of our brain power. Our minds are so powerful. Do you remember when Peter, I love to use this example, when Peter got out of the boat, it was with his mind. His mind was focused on what was in front of him, okay? And so he focused with his mind so powerfully that he was able to get out of the boat. I'm telling you, the mind is powerful, And so if you focus on a sunny day, you will feel as if you just walked into a burst of sunlight. If you just think on it with your mind, you know, Jesus, the Son of God, with his mind, he visualized all that he had to go through. And with his mind, he said, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so with his mind, he was able, he just remembered on his purpose of why he had come to earth. And he was able to withstand, physically withstand, not just spiritually. Spiritually, yes, he did what he had to do. But physically, he took a thronging that, you know, you can't even imagine. Our finite minds cannot even imagine. But with his mind, he was able to endure it. That's why when people say, "I can't take this and I can't take that anymore. I just can't take it anymore." And I understand, I've said those words as well some years ago. And every now and again, I may say them, but they have no meaning when I say them. See, some people say those words and they mean the world to them. When they say it, they mean it, and that settles it. But when people like myself, and if you've been listening to this show for at least 6 months, at least 6 months to a year, then those words don't really mean that much to you when you say that anymore. When we say things like, "Oh, I can't take this," because we can take it. That's the whole purpose of life, is to show the world what we can take. We can take, like we were talking yesterday about this economy. People are falling apart. So here, you can't fall apart and say, "I can't take this." See, here's the thing. If you really couldn't take it, then move, leave, let go, go on with it, move on. Otherwise, you can take it. So just, you know, be quiet and just settle down. And, you know, take it, okay? But some people, they don't realize the power of their mind and how powerful our mind really is. And you have to know that your mind is so far beyond measure, powerful, beyond measure. And then now we're talking today, our topic today is how to take control. How to take control. You could say, take control of what, Coach LaLisa? Well, I'm glad you asked. How to take control of your mind. How to control your thinking so that you can have what you desire. What you desire. He said, whatsoever things you desire, believe that you receive them and you have them. See, with the mind, you have to believe with the mind. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are true. What is true for you? Well, the truth of the matter is, you can have whatsoever you say. The truth of the matter is, if you seek, ye shall find. You know, see, truth becomes what is true for you. True becomes what you choose to believe. See, there were two thieves, remember? One, his truth was, there's no hope, there's no way out. And that's what's true for him. And the other, okay, y'all, that was lightning. You don't want to know what that just sounded like. All right, this house shook a little bit, okay? Now, I'm just reporting that to you, okay, live from the newsroom here in New Jersey. That was a thunder that was so loud. So, there you have it. From the newsroom right here in New Jersey. All right. I just wanted to look out the window and make sure that the street was still there. Because I think, well, it's probably not the loudest that it's ever been, but it's the loudest I've heard lately. And so with the mind, you can control what happens. Well, you can't control thunder. That's for sure. I don't guess. Well, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. You can control a lot. There's a lot of things that can be controlled with the mind. So, here's the thing. What we do want to do is we want to get control, okay? And we want to get control, and we want to use that control for all the right reasons. See, that's the key right there. We want to take control of our lives for all of the right reasons. So, for instance, you want to have control of, let's just say, you have all of these things facing you, your health, your finances, your family, your relationships, you have your vocation. It could be your job, maybe you're in the ministry or whatever your vocation happens to be, your occupation. You have all these things looming at you at one time, right? And it can get overwhelming if you don't break them down into chunks, all right? You have all these things going on, but you have to divide. You ever heard the saying divide and conquer, all right? And they use that when you're talking about groups of people. If they are divided, you can win them over. The enemy can conquer you if you're divided. Well, in a sense, it's not that these things all coming at you as your enemy, so to speak, but you're going to use the same processes. So the process for conquering something is to break it down into smaller pieces. And so you're breaking down all these things. So you take them kind of one at a time. And so let's just say you want to take, and ultimately the pie, the whole pie is your life. So you see your life as a pie, and that each piece is a sliver of the pie. So health is one sliver of the pie, and then finances is another sliver of the pie. Relationships, that's one more slice of the pie. Family is another slice of the pie. And your career, whether you work for yourself or work for someone else, or whether you're like me and others, you're doing both. That's another slice of the pie. If you're in some kind of ministry, that is another slice of the pie. And so you can see there are many slices to the pie. And so you have to work the whole, however, the whole pie makes up your life. And therefore, you can't let any one slice of the pie go too long, all right, without attending to that slice and to that part of the pie. You have to attend to all the pieces, but you certainly don't have to attend to them all at once. That would be ludicrous. That would be impossible. Cannot attend to them all at once. Take my word for it. I tried it. It just doesn't work. Now, here's the thing, too. The pie is broken up into the pieces, or should I say divided into those pieces for which you had some control over what pieces are there. Obviously, everyone has to deal with their health and their finances and some kind of relationship, but not everyone had to deal with a family. A family other than the family that you're a part of. But that could fall easily under relationships if you don't. But once you have your own children, once you're married and have your own children, then now you've created a family that now you have. Now that's a part of that pie. But again, that was your choice. And then you have the other ministry that you don't have to do that. That again is a choice. And if you make that choice, Now you have to be willing to add to that. And then career, you could simply choose just to work for someone. But if you choose to own your own business, now you have to deal with that. So you have this pie and you want to take control. You need to have control over how smoothly things are running and what can happen as human beings. What we tend to do is we tend to get overwhelmed with all of the pieces, unlike animals. Animals, you ever notice, they're just like laid back, unless they have to go for food or unless they have to protect themselves from the enemy. What else are they much doing? Not much. They're just enjoying life. And we, on the other hand, are different because we're so smart and we have these brains and we have this intellect and we have this great memory and we're able to, you know, analyze things and what have you. We tend to be more complex. Well, not tend to be, where we are. And so, therefore, because we are a more complex human being, guess what? We have more complex lives. Therefore, when it comes to taking charge and taking control of our lives, we run into, you know, some problems. And so that's what we're here today, to help you. As you're taking control, you have to have control. You can't let things, if things get out of control, because they can, okay, if things get out of control, don't worry. Just put them back into control. Take control. And the way you do this is by, number one, taking control of, you know, different areas, you know, one by one. You can't take control of it all. So let's just say it's your health. That may be the most important thing that you want to do, because the other pieces won't really matter if the health is not in order. So if we were to focus on the business, the friends, the family, and the other pieces and let the health go, you see, the other pieces won't really matter. So in taking control in all of those various pieces, the first piece you want to control is the health piece. I'm very serious about this. You need to get your health in. You need to take control of that. And so start with eating properly, exercising, and getting the proper rest. Just three basic, real simple things that you can do to take control. We're talking this morning about how to take control of what? Of your life. But your life is made up of pieces. You just can't say, well, I'm going to take control of my life. Well, what exactly does that mean? You see, that's a goal, but it's not specific enough. So we look at all the pieces of our lives, the career, the finances, the ministry, the family, the relationships, and our health. Our health is key. And right now, I don't know about you, but I know over here, you know, we know a lot of people who for years and years and years let their health go. They didn't take control. And so they are reaping the results of that, right? And so here we have a great opportunity to take control of our health and at least make that effort so that we can get done all the other things that we need to do. There's still a lot of things left here to do. So we still have people that we want to empower. We still have people that we want to motivate and to inspire them to change their lives for the better. So we need to be here. We still have things to do. So you want to take control first of your health. Get the health in order. It may mean to slow down. Sometimes, I know for me, that was number one. Slow down. Don't have to do everything. Don't have to be involved in everything. You know, just take it easy. Make sure we're healthy. That's the key. You know, we can run and run ourselves into the ground and be out of energy to do anything meaningful with. So that's the first thing, is to take control of our health and make sure that we're getting the proper rest, that we're eating properly, have the proper nutrition, and that we're getting some exercise. And so I was talking to a person that like was into sports and, you know, all into the healthy thing. And so I said, well, what kind of exercise? She says, oh, do some cardio. You know, get that heart pumping, like the running and the aerobics and stuff like that, right? And I says, okay, great. Now, how many times a week should I do that? I'm thinking she's going to say 2 or 3 times. She says 5. I said, 5 times a week? She says, yes. I says, well, I've heard people say, oh, a couple times a week, 3 times a week. She said, I'm telling you the truth. You want to know the truth? You want to know what's for real? Or do you want to play around with this, or are you serious? I says, well, I want to be serious. She says, okay, then you need 5 days. And I said, okay, not a problem, not a problem. And then I did turn right around and hear a commercial on TV for one of those exercise programs, and it did. It said, do 45 minutes a day. So they said 7. So I said, okay, she was on point. And so exercise, we have to fit that into our day, our health. And then we also have our spiritual health, you know, the prayer, the meditation, this reading and the studying, you know, our words of guidance and wisdom. We have to study, we have to read, and we have to meditate, again, daily. If we have to exercise our natural body daily, well, we got to exercise our spiritual body daily, every day. And this is if you want to take, this is how we're going to take control, so that we don't feel overwhelmed, so that we don't start slipping into modes of depression, all right, so that we don't start feeling blah and ho-hum and, you know, blasé, as I was saying earlier in the show. I said, remember, back in the day, we would say, people say, oh, they just start feeling blasé. They're not feeling up to speed. And so taking control so that we can feel rejuvenated, that we can feel every day, we can get that natural energy going, that natural energy that will pump us up, sustain us, you know, make us have a smile on our face, make us have that great day. So that's in the health area. So we take those chunks, so get control of the health. And once we start feeling healthy, we'll begin to want to succeed in the other areas. But if our health is going down, it's going to be like you ever do laundry, and when the washing machine just begins to start acting crazy for no apparent reason. Well, if our health isn't under control, that's what we are like. We're like a washing machine out of control. And so we want to take control. We're talking this morning about how to take control. So if you just tuned into the show, good morning and welcome. Good morning. I see you there on the switchboards. Good morning, Miss Cincinnati, Ohio, Miss Hope Harper, and congratulations to all the wonderful things you're doing out there. Also, Miss Kay Serena Willer Weaver, good morning. Mr. Paul Kiriazzi, good night, I should say. It's not morning in Tokyo, Japan. It is around, 8:30 p.m. over there. And so I can say good night to you and good morning, or should I say good evening to you, Mr. Paul, and good morning to many of you. And if you're on the West Coast, California, then it's good morning, because for you it's about 4:30 a.m. Good morning. So we're talking this morning about how to take control. Yesterday, if you remember, we talked about how that you can have what you want even in this bad economy. And so today we're talking about how to take control. And then you might say, take control of what? And I was talking about how to take control of your life. What is my life? You know, that's so general, that's so broad, it's so ambiguous. So we broke it down. We said the best way to handle something is to break it down into smaller chunks. Just like, you know, they said, divide and conquer. Well, you can win at your life if you look at it in chunks. You can't fix everything at once. We're just not humanly possible. Then we said that if we work on the health part, other parts will fall into place. And so let's work. So we worked on the health part. We talked about what some things to do. Now, let's look at another chunk that's important, that I found it to be an important piece. Let's look at our finances. That's an important piece to look at, because once our health is in place, and we said how powerful the mind was, remember? We said it, we use as an example Peter getting out of the boat. He had his mind fixed. Remember, he was focused 100%. His mind was focused on one thing, and he was able to do the impossible. When we focus in, when we understanding that our mind is powerful enough that it will allow you to do the impossible with your mind. You don't need somebody else's mind. You just need your mind. With your own mind, you can do the impossible. That's how powerful your mind is. Remember, it says if you believe that you receive something, if you just believe it, it is powerful enough to allow you to have it. You believe, if you hope for it even. All right, if you have faith for it, you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So your mind is more powerful than what we take advantage of. We don't even take advantage of how powerful, but we would have to do that inside of focusing on that single thing and understanding that, you know, as we focus. So that's why I'm like saying, okay, let's teach and get this, let's break this down one at a time. And so now with our finances, we're focusing on having more than enough. And I know that one of the problems with our finances is that all of our lives, for most of us, we were raised on the theory of lack and scarcity. We were raised on that theory, especially if you were born in America, because in America, the common understanding and teaching is that there's just not enough for everyone. And that teaching is so contrary to what really exists, because there is more than enough for everybody that wants anyway. There is more than enough, all right? But all of our lives, we have been under a system of government, of big corporations, and of communities that have believed in this scarcity practice and mentality, that it is not enough for everyone. And that was from the government to corporations to communities, all that translates into households and translates to our schools, and it had even infiltrated our houses of worship, whatever they may be. And so it was taught across the board for the average person. And that's why you heard us the other day, Friday, when we were on here talking with Miss Calithia Jenkins, and she's a financial expert, and we were on here and we were talking with her, and I was asking her about some particular books, and one book in particular by Mr. David Kiyosaki, the book is Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and in his book, he talks about one of the things I got from his book is how he explains one of the key differences to being rich and being poor is how we're taught. It's not about who your parents are. Well, in a sense it is, because if that's who's teaching you, then yes, you're going to be taught these principles of lack that will always keep us poor, even though we work every day. Well, there you go. That's one of the ways to stay poor, is to just work every day for someone else. Now you are a big help, because you're making someone else rich, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. All right? But we're just talking about for those individuals who you have a purpose, you know, that God has purposed you to be a conduit to get wealth to other people, you know. Anyway, so financially then, what is it that we need to do? Well, first we have to control our thinking. We have to change our thinking. We have to take off or kill or get rid of the lack brain cells and grow new brain cells that teach us about unlimited finances. And we have to, we were talking last night in a class, and we were talking about, he was asking everyone, how much is a quintillion? How much is that? Quintillion. Okay, you got billion, million, trillion. What's a quintillion? You know, he asked. And so it, I don't know if any of you know, but he said, how much is a quintillion? Now, don't look it up on the internet. Of course, we could all do that, but just off the top of your head, how much is a quintillion? And so no one in the group knew, and it was about 40 of us, so no one there knew. Maybe one lady knew, but no one else. None of the students knew. And so he wrote it on the board, and you would put a one. Now, you know, a million, you got a one, comma, and three sets of zeros, right? That's for a million. And then for a billion, then you would have four sets of zero. Well, a quintillion, you have 18 sets of zeros. So that's 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18. All right? Not 18 sets, but you have 18 zeros. So that's six sets of zeros, okay, for a quintillion. And so he showed a picture of the Giant Stadium, and he said, now, the Giant Stadium in New Jersey, it seats, and you have a new one over there, y'all, it's big, it seats 85,000 people. 85,000 people can sit at one time in that Giant Stadium. Now, he said, now, how many times must they fill that stadium to equal a quintillion? How many times must that stadium be filled? How long would it take, in other words? Would it take a day, a week, a month? How long would it take to get a quintillion people in that stadium? And so he asked the question. Of course, nobody in the audience knew, but a couple of people guessed. Somebody said 30 years. Somebody said a year, different things. Because you figure 85,000 people can sit in that stadium, and you have a quintillion. Now, remember, we said there were six sets of zeros, so that's 18 zeros altogether. And he said it would take 33 million years. 33 million, okay, years to fill that stadium to get a quintillion. And so his point behind all of that he was teaching us how they test DNA. This is how they discover if, let's just say, someone murders someone or someone commits some type of heinous crime or even a robbery for that matter. And if their DNA is left behind, this is how they can discover the person's DNA. And that's as if they, and that's how they do it. And so it's one in a quintillion, okay? When they discover DNA, they say that it is one in a quintillion that this could not be the person. In other words, the chances of it is one in a quintillion. So all the rest of the chances is that this is a match. This is the person who committed the murder and stuff like that. So anyway, I don't know. Maybe you watch CSI and you saw something like that. I don't know. I don't watch CSI. So, but the point is that we have this power. So just, you know, the mind, you know, like my mind couldn't have even thought of that, okay? So it just shows you how our mind is so powerful, that there are scientists, there are people, mathematicians, whatever you want to call them, who can sit and come up with these type of mathematical equations, formulas. I'm telling you, our mind is very powerful. And the only reason we do not experience what we desire is because of this lack of control. And that is one of the reasons I wanted to teach on this topic today, is how to take control. You have to take control of your life, which means taking control of those pieces of your life. Again, you cannot control the weather. You cannot control whether it's going to sun, the sun is going to shine. However, you can control whether you experience the sunshine. You see, you can't control if the sun is shining in your part of the world or not, but you can control whether you experience the effects of the sunshine. Because like we said, a sunshine brightens your day. It makes you happy. It makes you excited. And even though it may be raining where you are, it could be snowing, raining, there could be a tornado, there could be a storm, the sun is shining somewhere. And all you have to do to experience is focus on it. I guarantee you the energy will change if you focus on the sunshine, focus on pleasant things, good things. Don't focus on your problems. Don't focus on what you don't have, because what you focus on, you're going to make it bigger. Focus on what you have. Relax. Take deep breaths. Go out and exercise. Do some cardio, do some aerobics in your house. You don't have to go anywhere. You can do it right there where you are. Just jump around for a while, okay? Now, we said that people who don't take control tend to be more stressed. Therefore, they tend to have more sickness, more illness. They tend to also borderline, or they go all the way down the road of depression. They end up with bouts of depression. And some are depressed and don't even know it. And so we have to take control. So if you have any questions or comments, you know, this will be a good time for you to ask them. You can always hit your number one key, and that will let me know you're in the host queue, and that I will open your phone line and take your comments or your question. Now, there are many people who don't believe they have control, but I know that's nobody here for the Coach Lisa Show, because that's why you tune in, because you're this group of people who have, like I said, if you've been here for 6 months, a year or so, as some of you have, then, you know, we're on the same page. We're talking the same language. Or you're here because you want to get on this page. You want to get to that point where you can utilize, like I said, we don't utilize, like we, oh, should I say, we probably utilize one quintillion of our brain. I think that's how I started talking about that. It's because that's how much we use of it. One in 33 million ounces or nanograms of our brain do we use. And that's a lot that's unused. Unused. Now, you may say, well, I don't need to use that much. I say you do need to use. You need to use all you got, okay? God gave it to you for a reason. It's not just to, you know, sit in your head and look pretty on your shoulder. No, on your neck and your neck from the neck to the shoulder. No, it is to be utilized. Utilize it to do what, you might ask. What do I need to do? Well, for one, for starters, you can utilize it to take control of your life so that you are operating in a way that is attracting You see, we should be we should be like this energy that attracts other people to us. Mm-hmm. And people are being attracted to us because they feel the energy, and this energy is positive energy. It is positive energy that is going to help individuals also become this vessel of positive energy. And as the positive energy continues to grow and build and get bigger, well, we can just see the impact that we're making in our world, so to speak, in our surroundings. Wherever we go, things should be different. When we walk in the room, all right, if we really had control, when we walk in the room, the room would light up, okay? It would. It would light up as if the sun was walking in that room, like the sun itself had come down to earth, got legs and arms and, a body and just walked into the room. That's what it would be like if we take control. But so many people are out of control, and I know firsthand about being out of control. That's why I'm talking about it. I'm not just coming up with something for the fun of it. No, this is very serious. It's very serious that we need to have control so that we can be pleasant, so that we can be kind, so that we can be gentle, loving, so that we can want to give and give and give some more. So that we can see, the more we give, the more we get. The more we give out, the more we're going to get back, because it's only the empty vessel that gets filled up. If we just get filled up and we don't pour that out, shame on us. Shame on us. Shame, shame, shame. We get filled up to pour out. And if we're not pouring out, what is happening? You ever went by a vessel or a puddle of water and there was a stench, it had a smell to it that was not pleasant to the nose? Well, that's because the water just sat there and got stagnated. If you even left the water in your sink overnight, you could experiment with this and see what I'm talking about in case you've never experienced it. Just put the water in your sink and just leave it there overnight and come back in a day or so, and you will find there would be a smell that is not pleasant. That's what happens when water is left stagnant. And just imagine in a pond where water is stagnant, where it's not moving, it's not flowing, it just sits there. Imagine it's stagnant, now it's stale, now it's dead, and anything in that water is going to be dead. Dead, period. Anything dead typically has a stench to it that doesn't smell good. Remember we had, growing up, you had fish. Everybody had their little goldfish, right? And remember how you have to clean that water? Often, because if not, it would begin to smell. And the fish dies and it's stagnant? No. And so that's what we're like when we don't pour out. When we don't pour out, that's what we become. We just get filled up and we become stagnant. And there's a stench. And ultimately, what will happen is you will begin to feel sick. You'll begin to feel sick. You'll begin to feel sluggish. You'll have that feeling that I talked about at the top of the show, okay? You'll begin to feel blasé, even depressed. You'll begin to feel depressed. So you have to pour out so that you can get a refreshing, a renewed mindset, a renewed feeling. You got to get renewed so that you can be fresh, ready to go, energetic, a new energy. But we have to pour. pour out, and we have to pour out by way of being more loving, more kind, more sensitive to the things and the people that are around us. This is how we take control of our lives. This is how we do it. You don't take control of your lives by telling your spouse or your children or your boss or your coworkers what to do. And for some people, that's control for them. They, in their mindset, if I can control someone else, I'm in control. And unfortunately, those are typically the people who are the sickest with disease and what have you, because they're, you can't control others. You need to control yourself. Don't worry about controlling them. All right. It's one thing to teach people how to control them. That's different, such as what I'm doing, to teach others how to control. But you can't control them. You know, it's the same thing with children. Now, with parents, what they were supposed to do, because the word says train them up, teach them up. Okay, so we were supposed to have been teaching them things when they were day one to day five. Now, you didn't stop at five, but I'm just saying those are the critical years, you know, to when you're a child. And so then you train them, and then the rest of the time they're learning, they're learning, they're learning. And they're, and what happens is, because we're learning so much more about learning, y'all, I'm telling you, we tap into so, you know, you ever wondered why can you still turn on your television or the internet and learn things? Because, you know, you ever wonder, why? Why is there something new? Well, why are, you know, we're still learning things, I should say. And that's because only one quintillion of our brain cells are being used on any given day. And there's so much more to learn about ourselves. And so we're learning so much more about, you thought it was all done? No, I love how my mama used to say, the half ain't been told. So there's still so much left to learn, right? So what we're learning about learning is that if we would go on and teach these little children, so for all of you who have any young people in your life, you know, take advantage of this. And so it's whatever you teach them, then for the rest of their lives, what they learn, they always compare it back to what they were taught. You know, what they were taught at home. And that's what they say about kids who aren't taught anything at home, because when things begin to happen to them as they're learning and trying to find their way in the world, you know, in order to learn, you have to compare it to something that you already know. That's what learning is. Like when, for instance, you know, as a baby, right, you feed them through a bottle, okay? When that baby gets a certain age, you begin to give them a cup. And so this little baby, this little kid, age one, whatever, understands that a cup holds something liquid, all right? That's what they understand, okay? And so if you notice, the little baby does not try to put a shoe in a cup, I mean, when they get older, because they understood that a cup holds something that's typically liquid. I mean, of course, it can hold things that are also powder or whatever, but they know it holds things. Not something, like you don't see a little kid trying to put food in their hand. Well, maybe little babies, but I'm saying when they get older, because you taught them, I mean, they did try to put it in their hand. And what did you do? You took it out of their hand and you showed them how to use a fork or a spoon, okay? You showed them that the food stays on the plate, not on the floor. You taught them. And then later on, everything they learned, they compared it to what they learned. And so that's how the brain works. That's how we learn. We compare it to what we already know. I remember in college when I learned that, thank God. I always thank God. You know, funny things happen, y'all. I'm telling you, the strangest things happen. So, again, I learned that from psychology class, which is a class that teaches you how we learn. Psychology is the course that teaches you that. And I'm so glad that because I had to rush and get enrolled and take advantage of the grant that they were offering me, they had to enroll me in a certain number of credits. And because I was enrolling late, the courses they needed to enroll me in were all booked up. And they said, well, put her in psychology. I guess they figured based on her scores, psychology is a lot of reading, she'll be able to grasp it. And then I'm so glad that I took psychology in my first year, my first semester, because, well, that was so important to understand how learning happens, because I used it for the rest of the time I was in school. So I learned there that you, once you learn something new, you're comparing it. What helps you to learn it is that you can put it into a particular place. You can categorize it, and you categorize it based on what you already know. And so it's like a building block, right? So that's how we come to this now. We're trying to control our finances, because when it comes to money, earning money, making money, whatever, running our businesses, going to work, starting companies, whatever it is we're doing, we're comparing it to what we already know. And that's what that was my whole point. If we keep comparing everything to this knowledge of lack and scarcity, then we're not going to be able to move forward. We're not going to be able to, what do you mean? We're not going to be able to grow, right? Part of that scarcity thing that really, really hurts us and that we learned is to hold on to everything, all right? And some of us, you know, we were taught, since it's scarcity, I better hold on to it, right? Because if I let go of it, you know, I may be out of something. And that's the big, big problem. You're not going to be out of anything. If you let it go, you're actually going to get more. Okay, so just to clear it up, you're not going to be out of anything. If you let it go, that's how you get more. And many of the great motivational speakers like Wayne Dyer and Anthony Robbins and many others, they will all teach on that principle. They will all teach on that principle. When you let it go, that's how you get more. So give, give, and give some more, all right? That's how we get, all right? Change our mindset, our minds. Remember, we're only using about one quintillion of an inch of, okay, of our brain power. Our brains are powerful, more powerful than you can ever imagine. We're not using that much of it at all, okay? In other words, there's more to use, all right? But we're not going to be able to use it if we don't think bigger. We have to think bigger. So I want you to launch out there and then launch out, think bigger, take control. We said we looked at there are other pieces. We'll have to talk about those later. But for today, we talked about getting control of our health, because if we don't have control of that, the rest won't matter. It won't even, doesn't mean anything. All right? So health is number one. That's the first thing we want to get control of. Eating properly, getting the proper rest, and exercising. That's just three simple things. All right? You can do Jenny Craig. You can do Weight Watchers. I don't care what you do. You can do the Atkins diet. You can do whatever you want to do. But those are just three basic things that you got to do anyway. You got to eat, right? You got to get proper rest. And you have to work out. So you got to exercise. You may not call it workout, but it's still exercise nonetheless. Okay? Then we said that there is not only our physical body, but we have our spiritual body. And so both have to be equally, you know, exercised. So we have to meditate, we have to pray, we have to study our word, we have to study whatever you use and whatever words you use. But for some of us, it is the Bible. For others, it's the Quran. For others, it's... No. But you have to study and calm down, get that health in order, pour out on others, pour, I promise you. If you pour out, not overbearing, not telling people what to do, just sharing with them, not telling them you can't control other people, can't control, share your love, share your knowledge, share. And we'll be back. And share your finances, if you have any. Share them with others. And you'll get more. Unlimited wealth, unlimited health, unlimited health. Did you hear? Not limited. Take the limits off your mind. Get it straight. Take control. Take the limits off. Give and give it now. All right, we'll see you back tomorrow. Awesome day.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.